This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free Blackstone 8-piece accessory kit when you buy a Blackstone 28-inch griddle. Plus, get two free select Craftsman V20 tools when you buy an RP brushless drill and impact driver combo kit. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
The worms crawl in, the worms crawl out. They'll eat your guts and spit them out. And when your bones begin to rot, the worms remain, but you do not. So don't ever laugh as a hearse goes by, for someday you'll be next in line. And when death brings his cold despair, ask yourself, will anyone care?
Macabre may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It's the final episode of season two. I almost said season three. I'm getting ahead of myself now.
Yeah. Oh my gosh, though. It's so crazy.
Yeah. I am really excited for this particular episode because, one, it's the letter Z. And Z is kind of a tough letter to pick a topic for.
Yeah.
One of our listeners actually suggested this, so thank you. Special shout out to David. Thank you for suggesting this incredible story. I am guessing most of you have probably never heard of the name Zenaida Portnova, but I promise you, after today's episode, you will never forget her.
Ooh.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah. Oh, thanks, David.
Yeah, so the letter Z is for Zenaida Portnova. And here are my show notes. War makes monsters, but sometimes war makes martyrs. And sometimes war turns teenage girls into assassins. Today on Macabre, we tell the true story of Zenaida Portnova, a Soviet girl who poisoned over 100 Nazi soldiers, shot three guards during an escape attempt, and never said a word under torture.
Shit.
Yeah. So what a way to end the season with a backstory of a badass young woman. And I am so here for it.
Yes, yeah.
Let's just get into it.
Yes.
Her story is a harrowing tale of defiance and of grief turned into vengeance. This is like some Inglorious Bastard style type shit, but this is true. I mean, it's. This is a reminder that sometimes history's fiercest warriors don't wear uniforms. All right, let's set the scene. It's 1941. World War II. The Nazi war machine is tearing through Europe, and now it's coming for the Soviet Union. In Leningrad, a city preparing for siege, 15-year-old Zenaida Portnova lives with her working-class family. Her father is a factory worker. Her mother stays at home. They're not political elites, just proud Soviets. We're going to call her Zina. Zina is smart, curious, a member of the Young Pioneers, which is a communist youth group that trains kids to be ideal Soviet citizens. But at heart, she's still a kid who loves school, stories, and her grandmother. So when her family sends her to the quiet village of Zwi, Belarus, for safety, it seems like a reprieve. But just days after she arrives, Nazi forces invade. And suddenly, Zina isn't a visitor anymore. She's a witness to the war occupation. She sees her grandmother's neighbors beaten, civilians executed, Nazi troops stealing what they want and killing whoever they please. Fear replaces every corner of her childhood. Her family is 100 miles away at this point, trapped in the siege of Leningrad, and Zina is trapped in the belly of the beast. After weeks of living under German occupation, Zina had seen enough. She wasn't just angry, she was traumatized. The village she once found peaceful had become a landscape of death and silence. Her grandmother, like many of the villagers, tried to keep her safe, told her to stay quiet, keep her head down, stay out of trouble. But Zina wasn't wired that way anymore, not after what she had seen. So when the local underground resistance reached out, Zina said yes, no hesitation, no fear. She joined a group, and I shit you not, called the Young Avengers.
That's awesome.
Yeah. A Soviet partisan group made up of ordinary citizens like farmers, students, and in this case, children who were sick of feeling helpless. Zina joined the Belarusian resistance movement, the Komsomol resistance group, also known as the Young Avengers, in 1942. She began her resistance by distributing Soviet propaganda leaflets in the German-occupied Belarus. So let's just start with that idea, right? So This young girl is such a fucking badass that she joins this group, fully Nazi-occupied at this point. I mean, they're killing people. They're doing all manner of terrible things. And she's out there just distributing this propaganda against the Germans to the people who still remain there.
That's brave.
Yeah. And the Young Avengers didn't have tanks. They didn't have uniforms, but they had rage and the will to fight. Zina's first missions were small but dangerous. She delivered messages to resistance cells, scouted enemy troop positions, and helped transport weapons through the forests of Belarus. She sometimes sabotaged German motorcycles and enemy trucks at their base in Vitebsk. I'm probably going to say a lot of these things wrong because they're Russian. Vitebsk. Zina also collected and hid weapons for Soviet soldiers and reported back on the movements of the German troops. Like, she's a full-on fucking little badass spy.
That's insane.
She was smart, careful, and beyond brave. The kind of person who could blend in until it was too late. She learned to keep secrets, to trust no one, and to lie when it mattered. She learned how to use a gun. She also learned what the Germans did to capture partisans. The stories weren't just whispered, they were posted publicly. Torture, executions, entire families disappearing. Some of the missions Zina was involved in included strategic targets of Nazi-controlled sites, including a water pump station, a local power plant, and a brick factory used by the German troops. These locations were essential to the Nazis' operations in the region because they were using them for infrastructure, supplies, and shelter. It's estimated that Zina's contributions to the resistance led to the death of an estimated 100 German soldiers during the war. Zina believed in what she was doing, and by late 1943, her work took a more personal and darker turn. One that would make her a fucking legend in Soviet history. A plan was forming. The Young Avengers had a target, the German mess hall in Obel, where local Nazi officers dined regularly. If they could poison the food, they could take out an entire unit of enemy troops without firing a single shot. So in order to do this, they needed someone who could get inside, someone who could be pretty much invisible, who looked innocent and seemed unassuming. They needed Zina. So Zina took a job as a kitchen assistant in the mess hall. She smiled, scrubbed pots, she ladled out stew and cleaned up after the meals. And no one suspected her until she poisoned the food. She mixed a deadly substance into the meals, likely a plant-based toxin used by Soviet partisans. Then she watched as the German soldiers sat down for lunch. One by one, the soldiers grew pale, then nauseous, then they collapsed. By the end of the day, over 100 soldiers had fallen ill, and dozens had already died. It worked. But the danger wasn't over. Someone from the inside suspected her. Maybe it was because she had a nervous glance. Maybe it was just bad luck. But the Germans pulled her aside, accused her, and interrogated her for answers. And here's the crazy part. Zina had to prove her innocence, right? She's on the chopping block. So she did the only thing she could do to prove it. She ate a spoonful of the very soup she had poisoned. Hours later, she collapsed, was vomiting, seizing, and the poison nearly killed her. But somehow, miraculously, she survived. The Germans were convinced that she was innocent. After all, what kind of a person would poison themselves if they were guilty?
Mm-hmm.
So they let her go. But they had no idea what they had just unleashed. They made a mistake. After the poisoning, Zina didn't return to the mess hall. She couldn't, right?
Yeah.
She had already been suspected of the death of the Nazi soldiers, and the resistance needed her now more than ever. So she got back to doing what she did best. This time with even more dangerous missions, sabotaging equipment, derailing supply trains, relaying critical intelligence to Soviet partisans who were hiding out in the forest. She was just living on adrenaline at this point. Every day was kind of a coin toss between survival and being discovered. And in late December 1943 or January of 1944, sources kind of differ on this timeline, Zina's luck ran out when she was caught scoping out a target for the Young Avengers. Somewhere along the way, maybe someone saw her, maybe someone talked, Zina was stopped by German soldiers. They searched her and found documents. Zina was then captured and sent back to Obel, where she had poisoned the mess hall just months earlier. Her mission was to meet with other partisans and deliver classified documents to resistance commanders. It should have been like a quick rendezvous.
Mm-hmm.
But the Gestapo had tightened their grip. Obel was crawling with German troops, and the local collaborators knew that the resistance was getting bolder. After she was arrested, she was immediately dragged to German headquarters, beaten, interrogated, and threatened. But she didn't talk. And this is where Zina's story turns from heroic to legendary. As if she wasn't a badass enough already.
Yeah, seriously. Oh my gosh.
At some point during her interrogation, Zina managed to grab the officer's pistol. And accounts differ slightly on what transpires after this.
Uh-huh.
Some say that the officer was so angry while he was interrogating her and he wasn't getting anything out of her that he just threw his gun. And that the pistol went flying and she grabbed it and, you know, picked it up or whatever. And others say she just straight up took the pistol. Regardless of which story is true, Zina, being the badass that she was, got a hold of the pistol and she shot the guy point blank. Then she turned the gun on two other guards, shooting one, injuring the other, and then she took off. Zina, a teenage girl alone in enemy headquarters, gun in hand, ran for her life, escaping into the nearby woods. But this time, her luck had run out. She didn't get far before German reinforcements caught her near the banks of a river. This time, there were no more tricks, no more escapes.
When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Now the Germans were really fucking pissed off. A teenage girl had just killed and wounded some of their soldiers. The Nazis wanted answers. They wanted names. They wanted locations of the partisans that she was working with, and they were willing to do anything to get that information from her. So they tortured Zina brutally. She was beaten, burned, starved, and this went on for a while.
Oh.
And the entire time, she did not say a fucking word. Not one. So you have to think about what kind of strength that takes to face your own end and still be in the mind to protect others. It's more than bravery. It's defiance. It's vengeance. It's purpose. Mm-hmm. The Germans ended up holding her for weeks. And they held her for as long as they could until they realized they were not going to break her. She gave them nothing. No confession, no betrayal, no names. They tried to break her body, her spirit, but they never broke her will. And finally, when the Nazis realized that she was never going to give them what they wanted, they executed her. The records are murky, like so many stories swallowed up by war. But we know she was killed sometime in January of 1944, and at the time, she was only 17 years old. A teenager, a child by every modern standard, and yet she died a soldier, a hero, a ghost the Nazis couldn't silence. Her body was buried in Obel, but her story didn't end there. After the war ended in 1945, Soviet officials uncovered the extent of Zina's resistance. Her name echoed across the country. In 1958, 14 years after her death, she was posthumously awarded the title Hero of the Soviet Union, the Soviet's highest award. Pretty fucking awesome.
Yeah. Incredible.
Yeah. So they built statues. They named schools after her. Her face was put on postage stamps. She became a symbol not just of Soviet patriotism, but of the raw, unshakable power of youth in the face of evil. It's easy to hear a story like this and romanticize it to make Zina into some tragic legend, but let's be clear. Her death wasn't beautiful. It was fucking violent. It was unjust. It was one child's punishment for refusing to be powerless. And what makes her story even more haunting is how timeless it feels. She wasn't a soldier by training. She wasn't drafted. She didn't carry any medals or rank. She was just a teenage girl raised in a city that was literally starving to death, separated from her family. And when the world was burning around her, she didn't run. She fought back.
Fucking badass.
Yeah.
Badass.
Yeah. So Zina didn't live to see her 18th birthday. She didn't get to go home, never saw her parents again, never walked the streets of Leningrad after the siege, never got the normal life that every child deserves. But what she did leave behind was a legend. There are streets in Belarus and Russia named after her, statues, as I mentioned, that still stand to this day, textbooks that still tell her story, sometimes sanitized, sometimes embellished, but always with awe. And the truth is more powerful than any propaganda. Zina wasn't perfect. She wasn't invincible. She was terrified, angry, grieving. Zenaida reminds us that heroism isn't always found in generals and presidents. Sometimes it's a teenage girl alone in enemy territory who decides, I will not be powerless.
Hell yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So let's just remember that sometimes the fiercest warriors don't wear uniforms. Sometimes they wear braids and carry books. Sometimes they're just 17. This has been Macabre, a dark history podcast. And it is our final episode of season two. It is our final episode of season two. If Zenaida's story moved you, we invite you to share it and remind others that courage doesn't always come with a crown. Sometimes it comes with a quiet, unbreakable will. And that is all I have for you today, listeners. That got heavier than I expected it to. Until next time. Well, we have a few things we want to share with you before we officially wrap up.
Yes, we have. Oh, man, this is such a fucking fantastic way to end the season. Yeah, I mean, you're getting me over here too.
Yeah, a lot of work goes into these seasons. Yeah. And I think really ultimately our goal is always to try to tell stories that matter, mm-hmm. you know, whether it be of heroes and or victims of tragedy. You know, there are sometimes like this person, I had never heard of Zenaida Portnova. Mm-hmm. And how powerful was this story?
Yeah.
And now I can tell other people about this story. And especially in the time and the world that we live in, like, stuff is scary. And, you know, we have the choice to be silent about things. And I'm not going to get on too big of a soapbox. But, you know, there are ways that we can stand up for people who don't have rights. And also, you know, we always say, be kind. At the end of these episodes, like, just be fucking kind.
Yeah. It's as small and as big as that at the same time. And
yeah,
I think that that's a big reason why we say that at the end is just even despite what we talk about sometimes, it is very important. Very important.
I think it's the simplest thing that you can do.
Yeah.
In a world where people aren't kind, is just like, be good to each other.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And now.
Exactly.
I just personally want to say thank you for being a part of season two, for all of our listeners, for continuing to help us grow as a show and impacting our lives. You know, just the way that you show up for us by listening and sharing episodes with other people, telling a friend, by leaving reviews, all those things matter to us.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to end this with being so grateful and appreciative and in doing so, season three, get ready because we are going to say thank you by the way that we do season three. We've got some amazing content planned. We're changing things up a little bit. We're doing some mini series focused episodes to tell bigger stories.
Yeah.
We're going to up the production value and give you some narrative style with some music and some sound effects and, you know, making it have a little more dramatic flair.
Yep.
And then we also have some merchandise coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So we promised we would do that and we're doing it.
Yep. Finally, I know people have been asking. It's happening.
And it's happening. It's official.
It's official. Like, oh my gosh. Like, I have a feeling. I mean, I've thought about this too. We're going to have to start thanking individuals at the end of every episode and starting in season three as well, just for their help with
contributions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big shout out to David for doing the design. I think you guys are really going to like the merch. And obviously, you know, we're starting out with a couple things. It's going to grow. There'll be more on that. We are getting rid of the Hometown Macabre segments for our show. But as Hallie was saying, we are doing something a little different. We're testing it out. And I think you guys are really going to like Macabre Feature. Hallie has done a phenomenal job on the very first one, and I got to hear a sneak peek of it already. It blew me away. So I'm so excited, and I can't wait to hear what you guys think. Well, it's going to get crazy on Patreon, too. You know, we're still going to be that.
You know what's happening.
More parties over there. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, this episode will have already aired, but we will have just had our first movie night.
Yes.
With our Patreon members.
Yeah. And I can't wait to see how that goes. I know that there will be more to come for that, too. I know that won't be the only one. So I'm so excited.
So it's Macabre Science. It's not science theater, but Macabre something theater 3000. It's our Macabre version. And we're going to watch old
cinema
scary, funny, ridiculous movies with listeners. And so if you're a freaky friend, Deadly Darling, or Macabre Hottie on Patreon, if you are in those tiers, you'll get access to the live stream movie watch with us. So, and then we'll have some game nights coming up and other things on Patreon. So if you're a paid member, you get access to those things.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be a time for sure. And we're still, you know, we're figuring out that stuff. Obviously we've got some new stuff coming over there too. So we're figuring out how to do that and making those more regular. Macabre feature is going to be so fun. I can't wait. And who knows, maybe we'll pull up a little thing called Macabre Unburied.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's weird to say this now, but now that we're getting into season 3, we've been doing this for over a year and a half, and it's so crazy because it's like some people are like, oh, I didn't even know, like, I've never gone back to season 1. And I'm like, oh,
go back. You got to start from the beginning, right?
Yeah.
See the evolution of that.
Yeah, exactly. In our wee little days, you know, where we were like, okay, me specifically, Hallie, not so much, but me going,
oh, whatever.
Oh, okay. Well, it was really nice chatting with you. I guess we'll see you in that next episode, you know.
Pulling out those archived episodes, we'll have more commentary and other things to add that we've maybe discovered over time that have changed the story or added to the story. So it'll give like some bonus content on the main platform for us to dig deeper, like a macabre digging deeper in the graves of the archives.
Yeah. I'm so excited.
But yeah, that's what I have for you today. Sorry about breaking down and crying.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. That was a very moving story.
This story moved me, and I didn't expect that to happen at the end, but it happened. It happens sometimes.
Yeah. It's powerful, and I've never heard of her before, and I'm so glad that you presented on this because I would have never known.
Yeah.
That's what's and cool.
There are a lot of stories like this from that era and time frame and, you know, things that I think we'll touch on maybe in season 3.
I think we will dig
a little bit deeper.
Yeah. There's so much. So much.
That's
from the bottom of our hearts, listeners, thank you so very much. We can never, ever, ever go into detail on how deep our gratitude goes towards you. The fact that you come to hang out with us means absolutely everything to us in every way. Hanging out with you in the Facebook group, getting to chat with you, it really does so much. You don't even know what you do for us. And, you know, we're all people and we have lives and craziness, and you guys really make everything worth it. So we fucking love you.
Yeah.
Thank you for a fantastic season 2. And I still can't wrap my head around the fact that we fucking have a podcast, but we're going into season 3.
We do. It's official, I think.
Yeah. Season 3, baby. Here we come. I'm so excited.
Until next time.
Yes.
I'm going to say it a little bit different than Blair does. I'm going to say stay safe, stay curious, and stay dark. We hope you join us for the next one, and we'll see you in season 3.
Yeah.
Until then, we'll shock you later.
Indeed. Don't hold your breath, but you will be waiting for 2. Until then, farewell.
Bye.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, score free gifts for the greatest dad. Right now, get a free select DeWalt, Craftsman, or Kobalt tool with purchase of a select battery kit. Plus, get a free Werner 2-foot aluminum ladder when you buy an 8-foot fiberglass ladder. Shop these deals and more this Father's Day at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.